Guess what, fellas? The boys are buzzing because hockey is back. Want to know what else is buzzing? The Lawnmower 4.0 from our friends at Manscaped. They are the global leaders in male grooming, trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. Don't get chirped this year for having a disaster below the waist. Join the Manscaped movement for all your hairiest grooming needs. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code HAYES, that's HAYES, at manscaped.com. Use the promo code HAYES at manscaped.com and you'll save 20% off plus free shipping.
Okay, another weird thing tonight. Early start for the Leafs, 6 p.m., kind of unheard of in Toronto. Like, good luck getting there if you deal with downtown traffic. We've got TSN Hockey Insider, Toronto Star columnist Chris Johnston on the phone. CJ, I just brought up the fact that the Leafs are playing at 6 tonight. Do you have any insight as to why that is?
Yeah, it's all connected to their travel because they play tomorrow night in Pittsburgh. And so they moved up the game because they're anticipating having a few more wrinkles, I guess you might say, as they cross the border.
Yeah.
They're actually having to clear customs in Pittsburgh versus doing it before flying here in Toronto.
Gotcha.
Which would be normal, and you know it's COVID time, so essentially I think they've built in a little bit more time to play with for getting there, and you know competitively I don't think it's a bad thing. I mean San Jose played last night, so it squeezes their window of rest and it maximizes the time before the Leafs play tomorrow against the Penguins.
Well, is this a situation? I'm curious if you know if the Sharks had to kind of sign off on changing this game, or is this completely up to the Maple Leafs?
It would be up to the NHL, and so obviously in cases like this, the teams can make their case. You know, we saw it a little bit last year when you know some teams got shut down and then a number of games were rescheduled.
Right.
You know, I know at the end of the season, the Leafs weren't happy. They got kind of tied up with Vancouver's rescheduling, and you know they didn't like the way their schedule turned out. And so you can kind of plead your case to the judge, but ultimately, the NHL and the schedule maker, Steve Hatzepatros, you know that's the job that they do, and so the NHL would be the one making the final call.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. I almost missed a flight to Thunder Bay a few weeks ago because it was so hard to navigate the airport. There was just so many lines, things like that. CJ, we were talking before about how Michael Hutchinson is getting the start tonight against the Sharks. Past coaching regimes, it definitely would have been the number one starter on the first night of a back-to-back. What factors do you think played into this decision for Sheldon Keefe?
Well, you know, probably the fact that it's the third game in four nights for San Jose. I think it's reasonable. You know, as well as the Sharks have started this year, and you know they've been one of them, maybe the very, very early surprises, I would say, around the league, just in terms of their hot start to the season. But you know that you're putting him in a position to succeed, where you know I think the Leafs will be planning on having the puck a lot tonight, and then you know not giving up too much in their own zone. And so I think that would be probably first and foremost. And you know they're probably not going to play as well tomorrow. I mean, none of these things are perfect science, but.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the second half of back-to-back, I realize it's probably a tougher game. You know, Pittsburgh's pretty dinged up right now, too. And, you know, they don't have Crosby. They don't have Malkin. They have Jeff Carter now in COVID protocol. So they're down their top three centers. So it's not quite the Pittsburgh Penguins of old that the Leafs will be facing on Hockey Night in Canada. But, you know, in this case, I think it would just be, you know, coming off the rest and with the Sharks being a tired team entering this game, that the odds are that the Leafs will you know, probably make it easier on their goaltender.
In conversation with Chris Johnston, TSN Hockey Insider and columnist for the Toronto Star, CJ, your good pal and apparent new trivia partner, Jonas Siegel.
Hot debate about the trivia thing. There's a lot of controversy around this office about the trivia thing.
First of all, gutless
I'm worried
move.
That I might have made the wrong choice by aligning with Jonas.
Woo!
But you know,
I mean, that's a character flaw. The way that he just gutlessly just let go of his teammate like that.
Right, and then, you know, just because he said that, now I'm with him. Like, I didn't get any say in the matter, really. All I did is accept the job, but, you know, we'll work through it, Jonas and I. We walked to the rink this morning for the morning skate, so we're trying to do our team bonding on our own here for whenever this trivia matches.
Well, he wrote in The Athletic this morning, he kind of did a notable stats piece through the first week of the season. You can go check that out at The Athletic. But one that stuck out to me was Jake Muzzin having a 46% expected goals for percentage. Given that the Leafs' high possession numbers and the shot share disparity so far this season while they're out there on the ice, is this a tad bit concerning for you when it comes to Muzzin's play early on this season? Or do you think this is just a vet finding his legs early on?
Well, you know, I don't think the Muzzin-Hall pairing has been as effective in general. And we know, you know, Justin Hall missed the game on Saturday with an illness. not related to COVID. You know, I'm not sure that Muzzin himself is at 100%. And so, you know, if that pairing played more than, you know, four games together and we're still producing those kind of results, I would definitely be concerned because, you know, if you look over time, I mean, they've really probably been the most reliable duo, although Riley Brody's performed well since, you know, TJ Brody came here last year. But, you know, I'm not at the point where I'm sounding any alarms or, you know, I don't think it's worthy of too much concern, but certainly that's the number to keep an eye on just if it starts trending in the right direction, because, you know, one of the things that Jake Muzzin does extremely well is break up the cycle, help the Leafs get out of their own zone, you know, play on offense, which when you have the forward group they have, you know, that's a big advantage for a team the way this is built. And, you know, he plays important minutes and big minutes for them. And so if that were to continue, it would certainly be not a good thing for the Leafs.
Let's start to go around the league a little bit here, Chris. Something you were talking about on Insider Trading last night, Mark Scheifele produces another positive COVID test. He'll stay out of the Jets lineup for at least another week. What's the latest on the Jets situation?
Well, it's really a day-by-day situation for them. And you know, they're at a point where they're being tested daily. And every day when they're waiting for those results, you know, fingers are crossed that they don't have more cases. You know, they're in a tough spot as it is. They had to play 11 forwards and 7 defensemen last night just as a function of the cap. When players are on COVID protocol and out of the lineup, you don't get any cap relief for that. So they didn't have an ability to call up another forward and balance out their lineup if they were ever to get in a situation where they had, you know, further positive tests and those players couldn't play for a game. You know, the Jets could be doing what the Leafs and the Avalanche have already done this year and, you know, find themselves shorthanded in the near future. And so, you know, it's difficult to say really where this is going because, you know, it's not yet clear if this is a true outbreak or, you know, a case where they have two players that have both had breakthrough cases of COVID. You know, we're talking about two vaccinated players and Blake Wheeler and Mark Scheifele. And so, yeah, it's a difficult situation.
Yeah.
You know, it helped that they got a win last night, I think. You know, I know that, you know, from talking to people there, it was tough because, you know, they had a few losses out of the gate. They lose their captain to COVID. I mean, just sort of a difficult set of circumstances. And really right now they're back to the old protocols too. You know, they're wearing masks everywhere, very socially distanced in the dressing room, kind of what the league was playing under last year, and the rules have been relaxed elsewhere around the league, but they're taking every precaution you possibly can.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. The fact that this is a new league year and they've somewhat relaxed some of the protocols, and I was curious if the Jets were kind of going back to that or if there's a threshold of how many players end up getting COVID or testing positive. At what point does the league have to start, you know, taking it into their own hands and maybe start looking at postponing games?
Yeah, I don't think we're there yet. And, you know, but certainly if you got the four or five players or staff members, you know, testing positive, I think you'd look at it based on kind of how situations were handled last year, whether it was in Dallas or New Jersey, Vancouver, you know, a number of teams last season, you know, got shut down for a week or more, because they had, you know, outbreaks that they were dealing with. And it was the only way to kind of safely keep everyone apart and allow everyone to recover and get back to games. And, you know, this is one of the reasons why the Olympics isn't still a slam dunk, quite frankly. It, you know, the NHL and the NHLPA have agreed to go, but they do have until January 10th to withdraw from the games without penalty. And you know, to me, the only circumstances that would do that is if, you know, we started seeing a bunch of games have to get, you know, canceled and rescheduled. And you know, they might need to use the Olympic break to essentially to get into a full 82-game season. So, you know, let's hope it doesn't come to that. But, you know, that is always a possibility. And for the season, and that's why, as much as, you know, sometimes it feels like the pandemic's over or we're getting back to normal, and certainly normalcy is returning, I mean, we're still not all the way there, and this kind of is a reminder of that.
In conversation with TSN insider Toronto Star columnist Chris Johnson on the phone on Leafs Lunch. Chris, Montreal dropped to 0-5 on the season last night. Carolina had an absolute hoot with it. They're short, like, three of their biggest leaders right now, though. So who do you think in that Montreal dressing room has to step up and take ownership, leadership over this team to get them out of this funk?
Cool, good question. You know, I they have to start producing offensively, right? I mean, this is, you know, I think the concern for Montreal, the losses are sort of obvious and the lack of goals is obvious, but they really haven't generated a lot of chances. And, you know, some of that just might end up being, you know, the roster rebuild, that they're not good enough, they don't have enough skill. But, you know, I think that their skill players, you know, have to be feeling a lot of pressure, whether it's someone like Tyler Toffoli, who had a career season last year for them, and hasn't been scoring so far. You know, Nick Suzuki signed a big contract extension, you know, just prior to the start of the regular season. And, you know, I think anyone that's sort of counted on to put up some offensive numbers for the Canadiens in particular will be feeling it, you know, with the way the season started there. And, it's amazing. It's like the year is so young. You know, I don't know what to make of any team at this stage of the season. It's so early, but to be 0-5, I mean, if they lose again, that like, it could get untenable pretty quickly, I think, especially given, you know, GM Mark Bergevin's in the final year of his contract. Yeah. And, you know, they're only a couple months removed from playing in the Stanley Cup final. I mean, it's a crazy circumstance. And you know, I don't think it really rests on one player, but they got to start controlling the shots and getting chances because, you know, they don't even have a chance in these games with the way they're playing.
CJ, we'll get you out on this one here, but the new season, now officially 10 days old. What to you has been one of the biggest surprises or one of the biggest storylines so far?
Well, I think some of the teams we didn't expect much of winning has been notable. You know, Buffalo got off to a 3-0 start. You know, San Jose started well. You know, and then you get the opposite of that, which, you know, Chicago, after a fairly big offseason, including, you know, extending Seth Jones a massive contract after trading for him. You know, they start 0-5, and then the Canadiens are 0-5. I mean, it feels a little bit like up is down in the league, to be honest.
Yeah.
You know, Vegas has got off to a bit of a slow start. You know, again, nothing that I'm smashing the panic button on or saying that, you know, all the preseason hype wasn't worth it. But, you know, a lot of the teams we expected to be dominant haven't started that way. You know, I think it's understandable, say, in Tampa's case, that there might be a little bit of hangover there. They've lost Kucherov, obviously, early in the year, but dealing with some personnel loss due to cap constrictions, too, in the offseason. And, you know, they played two long playoff series in the last 12 months. I mean, it's been a crazy time. And so I think if there's like a general storyline that's grabbing my attention is that a lot of the teams we thought were going to be crappy haven't been crappy. And some of the teams we thought were going to be great, you know, kind of there's a little bit of question marks around them. And, you know, I do think a lot of that will level out with time. But, you know, a team like San Jose wouldn't surprise me if they have a better than expected season. You know, I think Buffalo, I think reality will set in at some point there, you know, not to take anything away from their start, but I just don't see that team having enough to compete, you know, for a playoff spot over 82 games or anything like that. But, you know, it's been an interesting start that way and kind of fun, you know, when you think you got it figured out, you know, you get some different results mixed in. It must be driving the bettors nuts, and, you know, that's the main reason I don't do it.
Yeah, I can attest to that. It's driving me a little bit nuts here and then.
Hockey,
well, it's funny because if the season ended today, which I mean we're three, four games in,
the playoff,
like the Sabres are in the playoffs, the Red Wings are in the playoffs. You got the Blue Jackets who are going to be in the playoffs.
My theory since we started the season is because the NHL season started during a full moon and during a Mercury retrograde. So that's my astrology thought on the NHL season.
You're gonna have to explain what that all means, Julia, because we'll chat.
But it's why everything's a mess right now. If anything's going wrong, just blame it on that.
Okay, that's good. I need a few of those excuses. That's good.
Yeah, astrology. That's why. Astrology, the way that the moon works. I don't know how any of that works either, CJ. We'll have to get Julia to talk to us both about all that stuff. But, Chris, really appreciate you joining us today.
Yeah, have a great weekend. We'll talk next week.